Hey, hey, all you Arizona lovers. This is the Finding Arizona podcast, episode number 98. That's right, two away from 100. That's right. We are very lucky, and we couldn't do it without all the people who have been on every episode prior to this. So today's episode is with Marjani Hawkins, who's a photographer, and she's here to talk about her new photo book, Queer Girls. This book is a compilation of all people in the LGBTQ community. I appreciate Marjani for coming in. She said a lot and it meant a lot to us because this is not something that we talk about a lot, and I want to really show what Arizona has to offer. And this is one of those things. It's not a book that you see every day, but it is something that we should be talking about and we should be open to. So thank you, Marjani, for coming in. And we have a lot to discuss on the intro, so we're going to jump right into it. If you want to be a part of any episode, you can reach us at findingarizonapodcast@gmail.com. Please, please, please go check out our website, findingarizonapodcast.com, and that will give you all sorts of links to us, our social media. If you want to be a part of our Patreon group, known as the Arizona Lovers Club, that will get you an extra episode every month. So go check out everything. Always, you can always reach it at findingarizonapodcast.com, and you'll be okay from there. It means a lot to us that you guys are listening to us, whether on SoundCloud or on the iTunes podcast app. We would appreciate it if you guys subscribe to us, give us a thumbs up, like, whatever button there is, leave a comment. It means the world to us because we want to connect with you, and we also want to know what you guys want to hear or what you're interested in learning about. There's been a lot of messages towards us. We have to compile them all. We have to get through them and kind of manage and see what we want to bring in and what we feel is cool and will help us. So we appreciate everyone who sent us messages. We hope that you guys understand that it is a two-person operation. So I always say that because I know how hard it is to put yourself out there. And for those of you who are sending us your emails, thank you so much. We will get back to you as soon as we can. Let's jump right into some of the things that we were discussing earlier. Waste Not, who is a nonprofit organization that we will be highlighting later on, sent us an email. A portion of their proceeds with Encounter's opening up a grand new spot over on 888 North 1st Avenue on September 24th. Well, actually, September 22nd through the 24th. I just said 24 because that is my birthday. Shout out to me. Yay! So from 7 a.m. to 3 p.m., all your proceeds will help out Waste Not. And you can receive $3 on all your beers and specialty cocktails, including their craft Bloody Marys, mimosas, and much, much more. And you'll get $1 for, you can get $1 on coffee too. So go check out all of that stuff over at Encounter and help out a great cause. Thank you, Waste Not, for sending that to us. Another thing that came up was that we actually did a podcast, and it's going to be our 100th. And I wanna say it, but I also kind of want to keep it a secret because it is our 100th episode. I don't know, but I think I'm going to do it anyway. So if you're listening to this, I'm so sorry. Maybe skip ahead if you don't want to be spoiler alert, I guess. So the 100th episode will be with Bloggettes, and they are putting on an amazing conference, and we want to help them out because they're helping us out. They actually are helping out all of the listeners that are listening today. So if you want to be a part of that conference that the Bloggettes are putting on, don't remember the name of it, I'm so sorry, but go check it out. The Bloggettes are a wonderful, wonderful marketing group, and they want to network the wonderful people that are here in Arizona. So if you want to be a part of that wonderful conference, I say wonderful 1,000 times, you can use the code FINDINGAZ10 and you will receive 10% off your upcoming conference tickets. So FINDINGAZ, all caps, 10. FINDINGAZ10, go check out the Bloggettes' new conference coming up, I think next year. And we will be a part of it. We will be there. We're going to try and reach out to new people out there. So thank you so much, Bloggettes, for being 100th. And let's jump right into the episode number 98 with the wonderful
Marjani, thank you so much for coming on. Let's go. Let's get started.
Let's get it started.
I like it already. Welcome back, everybody, to the Finding Arizona podcast. I'm your host, Jose. As always, we bring in very special guests into our home, and today is no exception. So I'm going to let you introduce yourself and why we have you here today.
I am Marjani Viola Hawkins of MVH Photo. And I think you have me here today to discuss Queer Girls, which is my book, my photography, and any and all other things.
Oh, yeah. Well, thank you so much for coming in. I appreciate it. And you sought us out first. Yeah. I want to mention that. So kudos for finding us. And hopefully we keep all of your interest and we can keep you coming back for some more. And we definitely enjoy having... we just enjoy having everyone who comes in here. So we always appreciate anyone who gives us a little bit of their time. So
I appreciate it.
Let's jump into the book, like the photography. Tell us, I want to first get into a little bit of your past and kind of how you got up to here. First, give us a little bit of insight into your family life, you know, a little bit of the parents, a little bit of how they raised you.
Well,
and then we'll jump into the history stuff. So let's get going.
Oh, this is hard hitting. Okay.
Yeah, here we go.
I have a very great family. I love my family. I feel very blessed because they've always taught me pretty much everything I think I needed to know about the world.
Yeah.
So they were very focused on raising us to be street smart and also academic.
Mm-hmm.
So yeah, my parents, I love them. I talk to them daily.
Awesome.
And my sister, I have a younger sister, and that's us.
Shout out to sister, little sister.
Yeah, I think my family, they definitely had a lot to do with my creativity and, you know, encouraging that. I'm definitely very, I'm the artsy person, I feel.
Okay.
Aside from me and my mom are very artsy.
Yeah.
My dad's sports guy and my sister's very scientific.
Okay.
She loves science and math and all that kind of stuff that I don't have the capacity. I just don't get it.
How much younger is she than you?
She's 3 years younger than me.
Okay. So you're...
yeah, three.
That's how...
See? I can't do math.
My brother's the same year younger than me. So
really?
So I have that kind of dynamic with my sibling.
Yeah.
So I appreciate like when people have that younger sibling. Are you the only sibling?
Just me and her, so
okay.
Yeah.
So you're exactly like me and him too. So this should be interesting.
It's an interesting thing to watch the differences in us, and I guess our parents are, you know, they're very relaxed, cool people and very accepting, open minded people.
Yeah.
And we're from California, you know?
Oh,
so
yeah.
We just have
what part?
The Bay Area.
Oh, you got a San Diego girl over here.
Yeah.
Oh,
that's where I went for my 21st birthday.
Awesome.
Hey. But yeah, my parents are great. So it's interesting I couldn't imagine like what they're thinking, you know, having us grow up and see where we're at now. Like sister got a degree in biochemistry and here I am doing a photo book. You know what I mean?
That's crazy. And you know, and I always like those kind of thoughts come into my head. Like when your parents... you know, raise their baby kid and they're just looking at this bundle of joy. Like they ever think in their mind, like a Pulitzer Prize winner,
you never
a
know.
Famous photographer or, you know, whatever it may
you
be.
Never
like,
know.
It's so incredible. Like
these
little infants going from A to like where they grow up.
That's
to be.
Scary. But also I think it's cool because I feel our current society is moving away from like that idea of expectation of that little infant,
you know? Yeah.
So you can,
there's a full spectrum and we'll get into like conversation about, you know, understanding all of that and understanding just like where society is going today, because I feel like that's what something that your book brings up is society and culture, and so that's something that we'll get into. But again, like let's go, you know, growing up, what was it like?
Well, I grew up, I want to say I grew up here because I started going to school out here when I was around 13.
Okay.
So that's it. Once you hit the teens and you grow up somewhere, that's where you grew up.
Yeah,
but
exactly.
I am from California, and you know, some of my really odd life-shaping experiences do come from California in a way. I remember, you know, walking down the street and seeing people in drag for the first time and being like, maybe like 8-9 years old and seeing that being normal, you know? And so moving here, it's a much more conservative place. So my upbringing here was a little bit of a culture shock for me. I remember just being really upset. Like the first year, I was just not having a good time. I was like, it's hot. I left all my friends. Like, there's no art here. There's nothing to do. And like, I was just so bored. And, you know, that's me being 13, 14 with that kind of mentality. You know, I'm sitting there barely plugging in on the internet, waiting, you know, 30 minutes for it to come on and seeing pictures of like Jeffree Star. You know, and going, that's what I want to know. Like, I want to be involved in that world. And here I am in Arizona. Like, help
I bet,
me.
I bet that is. I bet that is. Can like, now that I'm thinking about it, when the early kind of ages of like social media and connection to one another at that level. That like when you're trying to find things out in the world and you're trying to understand it a little bit better and you find a connection. But like, kids don't know back then. It's like, it's dial-up. If people were on the phone, you like you lost connection,
right?
And it was it must have, like, I can imagine, because when I was growing up, I went from growing up in Philly to moving out here, but I didn't get Phoenix. I got I got the rural reservation. And so that's, you know, all I knew was, you know, that Pennsylvania, you know, East Coast lifestyle. Moving out here, and then to move out here and also subsequently isolate into a subculture of like natives and things that I didn't really know that well.
Right.
It was hard to connect to the outside world and find something that I was interested in.
Connect is a great word, because my experience was, because I couldn't find that connection to the outside world necessarily. I had to build my own world. And so like within that, that's amazing, and it is part of the reason I am the person I am today, because I've always been independent and know what I want to do. I have my own interests. I don't give a fuck what people think. Like, you know, I'm not trying to fit in with anyone. I had my own brand of cool from the time I was 13, 14. Like, I grew up on the Bob Dylan, like Janis Joplin, like that's what I was into. And so when you don't make that connection, you have no choice but to create your own world in order to isolate yourself and to survive. You know, so it's kind of a double-edged sword, because in some capacity you have your own world and your own interests, and that can turn into a career, and at the other side of it, like, people don't relate to you, so it can be very lonely.
The art, you know, the life in
of an kind artiste.
Of artiste, the life of an artiste, and it can be hard, but you know, the I think too, it's like, you know, tragedy also fills artistic and creativity, and that essentially we yearn for. It's a like you said, a double-edged sword. And I want to ask you, you know, where did photography kind of come into the that world that you were trying to form, and how did it help brighten it?
Well, this is a very, this is going to be a long answer, but basically I'm a very old soul. So even at 14, 15, I was already nostalgic and, you know, connected. I'm very much a people person in the sense where, not necessarily groups, but relationships. And I get very emotional and I'm attached to people very easily. And so a lot of it was my need to have like a concrete way to preserve a memory. And I felt like I understood the passage of time in a different way than my peers did. Everyone was just so young. We're freshmen in high school. We're like, oh, whatever. We have the world ahead. Like, I'm like, oh my gosh, you know, and I saw everything. I felt so differently. And so I really needed to have something to commemorate the things that I saw and felt, and especially the people. So basically it was because I fell in love a lot. I'm one of those people. Like, I feel like there's a song like that, like a Hozier song. Where he's like, I fall in love each and every day with like a different person or whatever, however it goes. And I met people and I just wanted to take pictures of them because I love them so much, and they wouldn't understand how much I love them, or they didn't get it. Because a lot of the people that I loved a lot were way older than me. And I was just like, you know what? You're so perfect. You're so beautiful. Like, I want a picture of this. And my grandfather, he actually bought me my first camera, and I took it to school and I annoyed everyone from that moment until I graduated, and everyone was so mad at me. They're like, can you put that thing down? You know? And then of course, years later, when they want all of our, you know, prom photos and everything, you know, they thank me later.
Yeah.
But.
No, it's kind of interesting. I always look at those individuals and the kind of older, the old soul in the body of a young person, and kind of the remembrance that they have. They're living kind of in the now, where, you know, some of us when we were younger were so looking forward to the future, mm-hmm. and looking forward to getting out of high school and doing things on our own, where, you know, in the moment we didn't fully appreciate what we had. And, you know, I have met a couple of people who are mm-hmm. that kind of old soul types, and they're very much, I can appreciate where they're coming from. And it's always so interesting to see that someone who appreciates the now, mm-hmm. and like yourself, you appreciated the now moment so much to want to capture it, that people are going to be thankful for people like you who understood that and wanted to capture those moments, because they didn't appreciate it at the time, but someone else did, and they were able to capture
that. That's a beautiful thing to say. Thank you.
Yeah. It's like, I fully want to... Britt and I have a communication that I feel like we talk a lot, and we want to understand a lot about each other. Mm-hmm. But also, when we talk, I also want to understand other people too. Like, I want to understand a lot about the world that I'm in. And so I'm glad that you're in here today, because your book is relating to a subject that haven't touched here on this mm-hmm. podcast, which is the LGBTQ community.
Dun 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 dun. Dun.
it's either you're triggered right now and turned off the podcast,
triggered.
Or you're like on it, like, yes, let's do it, let's do it, jumping right in.
Yeah, hopefully the latter, please.
I haven't learned a lot throughout my years of, like, you know, being in college and things like that, but I'm always so open to it. And I'm the kind of person that I'm just so fascinated and open to things that I want to appreciate people like, who enjoy appreciating the moment and things like that. So again, like, this is, I've always been open to everyone, and I want them to be open with me, because every person has a story, and that's what this podcast is about. It's about the story and about the moment that we're sharing right now.
Okay.
So...
I love
that. This is your opportunity to share your story, and I want to appreciate it in a full sense. So this book,
yes,
let's talk about it.
Like, let's talk about it.
First thing I want to ask you, and I hope that it's okay, you know, was it hard coming out to your family? Was it, you know, what was that like? What was the experience of it? And, you know, take us on a little journey of, like, from that moment to, you know, putting it to the grind of your photography.
Well, as cliche as it sounds, I feel like coming out is a process. Mm-hmm. It's, for me, my experience with it, it's been more about my own perception of what I think someone's going to say versus what they're actually going to say. Because, say, if the reaction's catastrophic and negative and violent, then I know that I can defend myself or take myself out of the situation, et cetera. So it's like, I know I can handle that reaction.
Yeah.
But just the fear of that possible reaction is, it can be paralyzing.
Yeah.
My coming out journey, I mean, wow. It's still very new for me because of that fact. I just really hid behind some sort of curtain, self-created curtain, I guess, that... Mm-hmm. I felt I had to do. I felt it was like a self-preservation, especially because when I moved to Arizona, I was completely starting new.
Yeah.
So it's like, I have to figure out how to survive, and that starts very young. But I feel that when I started to realize that, I don't even know what I realized. I was naive and fresh enough to not have a label or association to the way that I was feeling. I just felt things. And then when I expressed those things that I felt, the reactions were like, wait, what? And then I started to figure out that this was a conversation that people weren't having and that I was somehow different. And so that was about 15, 16 when this started happening. But as far as coming out and, like, as a verbal sense, say, like, I'm this, I'm that, like a proclamation of identity, that didn't really happen until... recently. Okay. I would say probably October of last year. A little bit before, I had a conversation with my sister briefly a few years back, but when I said it, when I had that conversation, she was like, yeah, I know that, you know.
Isn't it always interesting that your sibling or someone in your family is like the ones that's like,
just like
they give you the kind of blankest, like,
you're the last one to know about your own secret.
Yeah, exactly. And it's endearing too that someone cares about you and loves you enough to be like, it's okay, like, it's gonna be okay, and you're fine. Like,
it's endearing, but it's also crushing. And I say that because when I talked to my father in October, he was, to me, like the last straw in the group, you know. I was like, okay, you know, and I finally mustered up the nerve, and he pretty much had the same reaction. He was like, oh, yeah, I mean, I'm like, oh my God. And so it made me angry a little bit. Okay. It made me mad because I was like, I wasted so much time with this idea in my head about what I can and cannot be, and no one cares. Yeah. If they do care, they care in a positive way because they love me.
Yeah.
You know, and so, you know, there's a social navigation in a sense. So I'll never 100% be comfortable, probably. I don't think it's possible.
Yeah, I feel like it's few and far between that are, you know, that for the friends that I do have that have come out that are, you know, fully comfortable, there's still a sense of
reservation
because
you don't
tension.
Know people.
Yeah.
You know, on the way over here, I brought my book with me. It's a anthology or a, you know, short story series about women, lesbian and bisexual writers.
Uh-huh.
And I write as well. Oh, so okay. I saw this book. I'm like, oh, this is great. And I'm thinking to myself, should I take this book with me? Like, because I took an Uber, you know, and I'm like, should I bring this book? Because if I am seen with a book, someone may ask what I'm reading. And if I say it, I don't know this person, you know? So there's always that.
Yeah.
That thought process about coming out, you know?
That extra step that most of us who are like are, you know, again, it's like heterosexual, like we don't have those kind of questions when we're walking out the door.
Right.
That sort of thing where we second guess those sort of little nuances, like we, you know, the privileges as being the heterosexual, you know, that, you know, I it boggles my mind too.
Yes.
It's like, you know,
that's what we're getting. And I think that's what's beautiful about what we're doing in society today is that we're getting to the point where coming out almost becomes obsolete.
Yeah.
But that's a dangerous little, that's a, almost like a slippery slope because it can't become obsolete because this is going to be very complex to explain.
Yeah.
But basically, in creating a group, say LGBTQ, that's making a group of people feel safe and feel like they have a community, but it's also exclusionary because if you don't fit into that, then you're out.
Yeah.
So, or you just don't really know how to navigate. You're not necessarily out, but, that's the same thing with coming out. So you can say eliminate it. You don't have to profess anything. You don't owe anyone an explanation, but at the same time, that's a big part of someone's identity is to say, yes, I am different. And I want you to know I'm different.
Yeah.
You know? So I don't think there can be that erasure of coming out. And I don't think coming out should be as intensely expected as it is.
Yeah.
So
is it, so then we go back to how you did and your frustration of that moment of like so many days passed.
Yeah.
You know, it always feels like, you know, the for each individual, like there's some kind of stumbling block of some sort, and I feel like are you hopeful to the future of one day there will be a balance of like, yes, this is, you don't owe anyone an exception, but you also are an individual that is, has their own community and has, do you think that there will ever be a day where that kind of are balanced in some sort of way?
Absolutely. I wish that for other people. But for myself, I wish, or not wish, but I aspire to one day be in the place where that's where I surround myself. Where coming out and being open and vocal is something that's commonplace, like, you know, activism essentially. And, you know, I don't want to digress from the question, but, you know, especially after this last election, I was so upset and I was just thinking like, you know what, I've had my head in a whole bunch of nonsense, you know, like the Mill Avenue scene has got to take a rest for a minute and I need to focus on what's in my heart, and what's in my heart is being surrounded by people who are like-minded and understand what I'm, what, you know, what's going on in my head, in my world, in our world. And so that's the focus. So I do hope that there is a community and a safe space always. And mm-hmm. I feel my book creates that, okay. even though I didn't try to do that. Yeah. But for myself personally, I want to get to the point where I can be an advocate and I can be a little bit more vocal as I grow.
Absolutely. You know, I think we all aspire to want to help people and want to just like show our voice and who we are and be seen. The one thing that I'm interested in kind of getting at for the book part aspect, like, mm-hmm. you know, when you started this, did you ever feel like was it like a knowing start of like you were going to set out for this goal? Or was it just kind of like stumbled upon? Like, did you just like figure, oh my God, I have something here?
Okay, this is how it happened. I was, you're not going to believe me, but it was like some kind of cosmic moment. I was watching a movie and I was with my friend and I was just not really paying attention to the movie.
Okay.
And I'm just kind of in my own thoughts, just thinking about, I don't know what. And I suddenly just have this idea of photographing women who are queer or LGBT. And I sat up like resurrection style, just like, I was like, oh my God. And then he was like, what? I was like, I just had the most brilliant idea. I said, it's going to change my life. And he's like, what is it? I was like, I cannot tell you. And then I started.
Ain't that something? Like, he's like, how are you going to proclaim something like that and not tell me what you're going to do?
I just couldn't let it go because it was so powerful. Like, I knew it in my like soul, as crazy as that sounds, that it was just something like
the aha.
Yes,
like, why haven't I been doing
this myself? Yeah. Yes, I'm like, oh my gosh, I've been doing photography of, you know, portraiture, which I love, of mm-hmm. people who I love, but that's not going to affect a community. Yeah. You know, it's just for each and every photo that I take, I'm like, oh that's pretty, but something like this is not only pretty or whatever, however I consider it or see it, but it also has an impact on other people, which I think makes it so much more powerful. So I kind of had to protect it until I got to the place where I can show something, you know?
So you've been doing photography since like 15.
I was, 14, 15.
14, 15.
Yep.
How old are you now, if you don't mind me
asking? I don't. A woman.
Oh, okay. Never mind.
A lady never shares her age.
No. Don't worry. you know, in the time, like, the real question is like, in the time that you've, you know, done the photography and done, do you see a level of skill or themes kind of coming in and out, and what kind of things are we looking at in this booklet? Mm-hmm. Like, I want to know what themes occur, what emotions we can kind of feel from this book.
Well, I mean, photography, just like any other art, you definitely progress in advance. You can see it. At mm-hmm. first, I couldn't see it. At first, I'd take photos and be like, oh, that's the best thing I've ever taken. I'm like, oh my God. Like, now I can actually discern when a photo is not good. I can take photos now today and say, that's not a good photo. That's awful. You know? So now I have that growth going on, and my growth actually happened quickly. It wasn't like, okay, it took X number of years for me to get better. It was like one day it was terrible, and then the next day, one shoot I did, I think around 2014-15, it was the best shoot I've probably done to date, really.
Nice.
Well, maybe. But it was the groundbreaking moment where my photography went in a different direction. And the direction that it went into was a lot of film photography.
Mm-hmm.
I actually learned photography through film photography.
Okay.
And then I went to digital when I was around 19, 20. And then, you know, my themes now are very centered around flowers, film, women mostly, and just portraits and fashion. I feel like it's separated. So I do fashion photography for editorial purposes, like in magazines. Mm. And then I also just do portraits of people, you know, that I think are pretty.
Yeah.
Oh my God, that is such a weird sentence.
No.
People that I think are pretty. There's a comma in there.
There's a comma. There's more to it, people. Yeah. Like, it's just...
Yeah.
You know what's cool?
What's cool?
Things that come from San Diego.
Ooh, I'm interested. Keep me going.
You know who's from San Diego?
Who's from San Diego?
Me? You knew that.
I did know that.
Am I pretty cool?
You're pretty cool.
I think so.
Yeah.
You know what else is from San Diego?
What is?
Cool Sun Care.
Yay!
Awesome.
Yeah, I like that.
I love things from San Diego, and I love Cool Sun Care. They actually make 70% organic sunscreen.
That sounds awesome.
so you know every ingredient that you're putting on your body.
Absolutely. I like the sound of that.
It's pretty important to know every ingredient.
Yeah, that is important.
You can pronounce it.
Yeah. I have a hard time pronouncing things.
You could read it out loud.
Yeah.
I love when you read out loud.
Thank you. Well, we want to say thank you to Kula because they sent us over some sprays and they were kind enough to say, here you go, try it out and make sure that everyone else hears about it. So shout out to them and thank you very much for sending us over some of your spray.
Absolutely. We're wearing it daily here in Arizona.
Arizona. And it's working because it's SPF 50.
Mm, every time I put it on, it smells so good.
Yes, it does, because it's mango guava.
Makes me want to drink. Mango guavas.
So the next time you're out in the sun, think Kula spray. I also want to invoke, like, what's in the book? Like, let's dive into the actual book. Yeah, the Queer Girl. So, like,
okay,
where'd you come up with the title?
Like, well, you know, I just thought of, you know, queer is fine because queer is it's a whole different subject. You know, queer is very argued in the LGBTQ community. Obviously, the Q stands for queer or can stand for questioning, which is interesting, but it's a big debate and it's an ambiguous term. It's an umbrella term. Mm-hmm. It includes and excludes. So I like that. Not super, super thrilled on the whole girls part, but I think it flowed best. Like, women didn't sound right to me. And I think in calling it Queer Girls, all the participants are really young. Mm-hmm. So that's something that I'm a little disappointed with, but there always will be a next time.
There's room for
it. Oh, absolutely. I feel like there's 100%.
There's plenty of room for development and growth and later books to kind of connect it.
Every state.
Yes.
That would be fun.
That would be fun.
But Queer Girls is a film, so 35mm film, mm-hmm. Portrait series of women who identify as LGBTQ.
Okay.
And that's it. And that's the beauty of it, because you never know what someone's identity might be. And say they do identify as queer, you never know what the nuances of that might be. Mm-hmm. So it's a photo series of women who are queer. And the purpose of that, you know, there's many purposes, but the primary one is to show people that, you know, LGBTQ community is, like, not a really good way to put it. You know, it's not just a branch of people waiting over on the side and, like, point at them and laugh. Like, no, LGBTQ women are everywhere.
Yeah.
They're everywhere. Almost every person you know, really. You know, it's that pervasive. And, like, the thing about that, too, is I had no idea everyone around me was queer until I presented this idea. I felt so isolated and I'd never.
Yeah.
Ever. I felt so alone. And then all of a sudden I'm like, oh my gosh, I'm doing this book. And everyone's like, I'm queer. I'm like, what? So that proved my point of, you know, showing that you just don't know and you should not assume that people are not.
Yeah.
Or women especially, you know.
It's so fascinating. I'm so riveted to, like, wanting to go through this book. Do you add additional, like, is it just photography? Is there any other secondary, like, a little blurb about the individual?
No, I thought about that, especially because I have a very strong writing background as well. Mm-hmm. I've been writing actually longer than I've been taking photos.
Oh, wow.
But I felt that the pictures are powerful enough to speak for themselves. Okay. I will definitely have, you know, an intro or whatever. Yeah. But I think that the point is you have to see these people's faces, because I think that's the problem with people who are so homophobic, is that they just think of, they're confused about, you know, what LGBTQ looks like. Mm-hmm. So if they do see it's their sister or whatever, then they'll see these people's faces, you know, and see have the compassion and mm-hmm. say, this is a person, you know. And I think that's what's most important about flipping through a book and just seeing people. And another thing within it, which you ask, the theme of it, I was very inspired by Petra Collins and photographers on Instagram, like Ladyist. Okay. I don't know if you've ever seen her work, but it's very stereotypical feminine.
Okay.
So everything's pink themed, you know, silk pink panties and cherries and everything. And all the lights really washed out, and it's all done in film usually.
Okay.
And it's just very over the top, almost too feminine. And it's almost like adolescence in a way, you know. Uh-huh. They use, like, you know, lollipops and just these, like, props that scream girlhood. in a lot of their photos. And so I was very inspired by that. So what I, my idea for my spin on it was to have a photo of the person. The participants had a choice between being clothed and then semi-nude. So semi-nude meaning topless, mm-hmm. or they could not wear bottoms, or they could, I actually had the option of full nude, but no one wanted to do that. So I just took it to semi-nude. Mm-hmm. And then, so if you do semi-nude and clothed, it'd be one clothed, one semi-nude back to back. So you get the two photos. Mm-hmm. And if you do both clothed, it's still the same thing. You have both clothed photos next to each other in the final book. So I like that for the people who did do the semi-nude, because it shows the completely different side of a person. Mm-hmm. So I have a picture of a person standing outside completely clothed in their favorite outfit or whatever outside of a, you know, thing of flowers.
Yeah.
And then you have them inside in their underwear or topless, like on their bed. You know, that's a completely different scenario, and you get completely different physical reactions and emotions coming out of that person.
Mm-hmm.
And you're in their home. Well, I'm in their home, you know? And so that's very... That was something that was my spin on it.
Give me a little bit of the people that you've done so far. Like, give me some stories about them. Was it like, what was it like being in their homes like that and being so, like you said, you're dealing with two kind of moments in themselves back to back, and you as the artist have to realize A, what your goal is, and B, what is the best, like, lighting, all that, the technical aspect. So give us a little bit of a story about
it. There's many more.
Some of your first ones, like, what were they like?
Oh, some of my first ones were outside. A lot of really cool people that I met in school, because I was leaving at that point. It was probably February when I started shooting.
Yeah.
So I was on my way out of ASU. But, it's very heavy.
Uh-huh.
It's, but in a great way, because, you know, it's not as simple as taking pictures when it's the subject matter, because the women, you have to realize some of these women, this is their coming out. Like, wow. That is some incredible weight
that
to carry.
Yeah, that is.
To be someone's.
Yeah, that's, and it is in a sense that, like, not only are they, some of them have come out to their families, but they haven't come out to the world. And when you put it in a book, it's everyone seeing it.
Some of them haven't come out to their families.
I know.
Some of them are keeping it from their families, where, you know, in the contract, it's like, okay, well, I won't say your first and last name, but you have to understand that it'll go everywhere. So if it's seen, like, you can't come back and say that I'm at fault. But, that's a lot. And I've had people tell me before the shoot, like, this is my first time. Like, you're the first person I've ever really even, like, expressed this to. And I'm just like, oh my gosh.
For you, like, now I want to ask you as the photographer and the artist behind this book, you know, what in that moment of sharing that kind of intimacy, like, where are you at? Like, are you kind of having to be in your own moment where you're like, I got to be as distant away from it? Or are you trying to take in as much as you can feeling wise to this person and this moment that they're having with you?
Well, I feel that I react with a very understanding, I hate to even say reaction because that sounds calculated, but when someone tells me something, I always feel like I can understand on such a deep level, because, like I said, coming out is a constant process.
Mm-hmm.
So I understand them feeling conflicted or feeling like, oh, I can't say this, or this is scary, or, you know, my partner identifies this and that, and, you know, where do you go, the social navigation. So I kind of feel like I'm part of their story, and at the same time I have my own, you know, vantage point.
Mm-hmm.
So it's a great thing. I feel very privileged, you know, like, beyond, say, for example, all the film incinerated, I'd still have those experiences and know that I talked to these people and had this connection, and that's what I wanted to meet more queer people and feel and make women feel like they have a place. You know, so that was the biggest part. So, yeah.
Oh, man. So much, like, because there's so much going on. There's the artist who, you know, is trying to capture a moment.
Yep.
There's the individual who's being vulnerable to a moment.
So vulnerable. And they're in their underwear. Like, just imagine, like, it's, like, layered. So not only are you coming out in a public forum, who knows where this book could go, you know? It's like Ellen DeGeneres could be holding it. Like, you know, like, it could go anywhere.
Yeah.
And they're sitting there in their underwear, and people have a lot of issues with their bodies, you know? Like, that's also a recurrent theme, and just, you know, associating and understanding how people think of themselves, you know. So it's like they have their queerness and their identity, and whatever their identity might be, they have their relationship with their partner or lack thereof, and how they feel about that situation, and then they have to come to terms with how they feel about their body being seen.
Oh man, on top of everything else.
Yeah, on top of everything else.
I want to talk to you a little bit about, like, everyone who's going to be in the book. Like, mm-hmm. you know, was it easy to ask these individuals? Was it hard to ask these individuals? And also, are they, you know, are some, like, how are they as the community responding to what they see so far?
I actually never asked anyone except for maybe like one person who I was trying to get a date with. Like, hey, will you pose in my book, please? And then after that, like, hey, you want to go get food? But actually, the first few photos that I posted, I hate the word viral, but it went viral. Like,
insane.
I took the photos, posted a preview, and by the time I got home, I had like 10-15 emails. And so I had set a limit.
Wow.
At 50 models or participants. And so each person has 2 photos in the final book.
Yeah.
And I was just immediately overwhelmed. And so then, like, you know, the summer going by and like the time, I was like, I cannot keep up. And so every time I posted a photo, I'd probably get between 5 to 10 emails. And so I started having to narrow down, and then you have scheduling conflicts. Mm-hmm. And that's how it ended up working out, where I never ran out of participants, where I'd almost have, you know, if I did another post like, hey, I need more participants, and didn't really, I'd just like to have a little bit more than I really needed. Huh. Until the point where, you know, I was exhausted.
I bet. Did you end up getting more than you needed, or was there, like, you know, what's...
There's actually a few people, I would say maybe 4 or 5 people who I told, you know, the book is pretty much done, but we'll see how it comes out and see if I can get you to be in it, you know? So, yeah.
Man.
but that's the network, isn't it? You know, it's like everyone knows someone, and then it's coming out of the woodwork. Yeah. Everyone's queer, you know?
Everyone
so it just
wants to participate.
That was the easiest part, is finding people.
That's so amazing, though. It's like you simply just put a photo up, and it went from zero, like, you know, not many participants, you know, what's the interest, to people who are genuinely like, let's do this. Like, I want to be a part of this.
It's incredible. It's like, as soon as I take a picture of the person, they're like, oh, I know my sister, or my blah, 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 or, you know, my friend. I'm like, oh my goodness. And they know a friend. I'm like, wow.
So let me ask you, what did that make you feel about, especially Arizona in general, that you, like, after that kind of moments, was the idea, like, was there a change in what you thought about the community? Like, because I want to, there must have been, because you were saying you were having some hard times, you know, being here. Was there a transition of, like, change? Like, did you, after that kind of first acknowledgement and things like that, the first couple of photos, was there kind of an
change?
Well,
you know what? I've always been a creator of things. I've always been very independent, like I said before. And so that independence makes me isolated all the while. Mm-hmm. So while I'm making this project, it's beautiful because I now see my community and I know that they exist, when before I had no idea.
Yeah.
But at the same time, like, I'm almost still on the outside looking in a way, where I'm the person who's doing it.
Yeah, you're
but
the
like,
one.
No one, like, I'm just still not. I don't know how to explain it. So it's like, it's a great experience knowing that it exists, but I don't think I'll ever feel like I'm really 100% in it, only because, well, there's many reasons. Also, one main reason is because I'm femme, you know, so I'm very, you know, makeup, whatever, that's me, that's who I am. And so I think that also just kind of pushes me to the outskirts where people would have to ask me something like that. Like, I'd say, oh yeah, I'm doing a book, and about what? And then it's clear, you know, so I'm still kind of grappling with being fully integrated into the community.
Yeah.
But as far as Arizona at large, I still feel like it's a pocket. Mm-hmm. You know, it's like Arizona is still extremely conservative.
Okay.
We're going to say 70% of my day is in a very heteronormative environment.
Okay.
Where I'm very constantly, like, I feel not attacked but it's just like constant little, almost like microaggressions that I experience just trying to get to and fro, you know, just because society is still very, very heteronormative, where I feel like I can't talk about this, can't bring it up, no one should know. Mm-hmm. Oh no. So that's just like complete dichotomy.
So let me ask you a little bit of, like, did you hear about the little Duval situation with that on the Morning Mess?
Don't scare me.
Or not the Morning Mess, the Breakfast Club.
Oh, a little bit about that. Yeah, I didn't hear fully, but some sort of trans exclusionary bullshit, right? Yeah.
Listen to
the Charlemagne, right?
Well, it was the guest, Little Duval.
Okay.
Had a little bit of a, they kind of asked him and they baited him a little bit, which I always was like, you guys asked him the question and he's a comedian on top of, he knows that he's on the Breakfast Club and wants to get some more people on his website.
So like, you think it was just trolling?
I don't know what it was. I'm genuinely, it's kind of like they had the book in the office. There was a trans woman, I believe, that had a book out that visited the office a couple of days before. And I'm so sorry if I don't remember her name, but it just from kind of a moment of like their discussion and like having her in the office and they were having kind of a conversation with them. The book was there. A lot of things of like what would happen if you know all these kind of things, like, and he ran his mouth and got in trouble, and so it's like it was a real like,
but people like, think that shit, people are just like thinking that stuff, like they want to just dispel it just for like the controversy of it, but they also kind of believe it. They wouldn't say it if they didn't believe it.
I and it's really just one of those things. It's like it helped me as a, because I listen to podcasts that are also like the read, like people who are like part of the LGBTQ community, that like their take on it. So it helped me learn at least to like why people were mad, why people were angry, why people were upset, and what their take on it was. Mm-hmm. So, you know, I am learning just as much as like anyone else. And it's just so there's so many things that we need to learn and kind of appreciate, and hopefully there will be a strong learning process. But I want to ask you, how do you feel your book educates and helps individuals like myself to kind of see this new light of the community?
See is a very good word. The main part of it is visibility. Mm-hmm. So just to retract, like an anecdotal perspective is, you know, I have felt it's invisible. Mm-hmm. There's a lot of erasure that goes on, and so it's important to say woman, and it's important to say female or whatever your take on gender and sex, all that. I understand that. It's important to say women, especially within the LGBTQ community, are very overlooked. They are almost pushed outside of it. And my goal was to eliminate that, to say, you know what, stop this discourse. And so especially coming from photography as a means of communication, words are primary means of communication. Mm-hmm. But I think the most important thing is to create this new discourse, and that is through art and through pictures and through conversations that stem from those pictures. And so everything I feel is built up in language. When I listen to my friends, the way that we talk and the way that people who identify as heterosexual, they talk, you know, when they're around me, without, you know, knowing, it's like this compulsory heterosexuality. I don't know if you've ever like read up on that.
No.
But it's just the idea that everyone's straight unless proven otherwise, and that is super problematic and continues day in, day out. You know, it's like jumping a friend's car and all she has to talk about is, you know, this guy did that. I'm just like bored, checked out. Like, and it's like automatically assume that that's what I want to talk about, you know, because we're girls.
Yeah.
So it's like, you know, that kind of thing, it all comes back down to the imagery we experience and the things that we see and that we're introduced to. So if you don't have a book or you don't have a picture book, if you don't have anything, then you don't exist. And so that's the thing about sexuality. It's like when I was growing up, I didn't have a book like Queer Girls to open up and say, oh, there's queer people. Or I didn't go on TV and see positive images of women that weren't in some ridiculously cliche way, you know? So yeah, I think it's important to integrate material, because that's what makes our culture. You know, we're a material culture.
Yeah.
We're symbols, we're words, we're pictures. So that was my goal.
Okay. Wow. There's a lot to unravel there. And there's so many questions. One in particular that I'm trying to like get at and trying to figure out a way to ask this, but like, is there...
No.
It's not that overly complicated. I'm making it overly complicated. But I think you know, there's so many things to the community that I just want to be a good influence in myself. What, you know, as someone who has this podcast for myself, what are some things that I need to either A, learn, or B, kind of at least open myself up to, you know?
Well, that the way that you form that question is a good way, is a good direction to go in, because there is no one thing to learn, because the LGBTQ community is so diverse. And that's what I love about the book, is that these women are so radically different from each other, you know, physically, and their lifestyles and their partners. You know, you like, you see someone, you think they have, you know, a boyfriend, male presenting partner, like that might not be a person who identifies as a male. You never know. So, tangent, but basically everyone is so diverse, and there is no one way to view the LGBTQ community. And I think that's what the problem is here, is mm-hmm. like, not just for people who don't identify with the community necessarily, but people within it. You know, the whole idea of like gay BF and like, you know, what a lesbian looks like that shit is archaic. Mm-hmm. It's annoying. It's repetitive. It's mm-hmm. just so exhausting. And I'm not trying to invalidate people's identities who are those stereotypes, mm-hmm. but because they're real and they are 100% valid and they should be legible and seen mm-hmm. at all times. But the fact that everyone thinks like, this is what gay people look like, this is what gay people do. Mm. And it's like, I actually had a friend that come to Pride and was like, I don't know what to do. I don't know. Like, you can just get a beer. Like,
yeah, you can just be cool and just walk with us like everyone else.
You know,
where do I put my hands?
Yeah, where do I put my hands? Like, we're not just going to jump out with like rainbows and start like May, but you know,
yeah.
It's just like this, this idea of like even Pride.
Yeah.
That's another big thing. Not all people who are LGBT give a hell, like they don't care about like pride in that sense. Their mm-hmm. pride comes from however they build their homes, whatever they decide to do with their lives, their partnerships and their relationships. Mm-hmm. They don't need to go down the street waving a flag. Yeah. Some people absolutely need to go down the street waving a flag. Mm-hmm. So to assume like this whole like everyone should be prideful and out and loud, like that's not relevant to everyone's life, yeah. or even relevant to their desires. And especially, you know, not making it too personal, but I'm one of those people. Mm-hmm. Like, obviously, this is a very overt thing here. Like,
yeah.
I mean, hell.
This is deep and complicated. Like, is, and that's why I'm very glad to have you on, because it helps. I mean, again, it's like for someone who's really on the outside looking in, you know, I want to be respectful and I want to be appreciative and I want to be
you
open.
Are.
And,
you
and,
absolutely
and,
are.
And so, like, those types of things where it's like, I never want to put anyone so down and stereotype them or any in sort of way.
Yeah.
It's just want, I like, again, it's like, this book helps me understand that. And it helps me realize from your Instagram post, like, seeing these individuals and giving them an facial features mm-hmm. and help me understand that.
Yeah, everyone's so different.
It's so, like, you don't know.
You
really don't
know.
And so that's, it's really helpful. And I appreciate that. And so we're kind of reaching the end, and the end, I throw one question to Brittany, if she has any for the moment. But the other part is, this is your opportunity to really plug, you know, what's going on and where people can find you and help, you know, really push for this book, because I want this book to succeed so
thank
bad.
You.
And if there's any way that I can help promote that, you please let me know.
Yeah, well, to be very frank and very, you know, not polished, the thing that's going to make this book come together is going to be money at this point. Mm-hmm. So I'm looking for an additional sponsor. My current sponsor, I'm sponsored by 1 in 10 Phoenix. Mm-hmm. I'm sure you heard about the arson situation.
No, I'm like,
okay,
I'm so
well,
out of, like,
recently,
today has been a rough day for me. I'm
no,
news wise, yeah,
it was about a few weeks ago, maybe okay. 3 weeks ago. Their 1 in 10 burned down.
Wow.
And they
I'm
thought
so
it
sorry.
Was for batteries or something in the storage closet. Turns out to be an arsonist who they caught on camera.
Wow.
So he's being prosecuted right now, and
Jesus.
You know, he burned the entire facility down, and that's a facility for LGBTQ youth.
Goodness.
So these are people who need resources who are completely, you know, out. And so 1 in 10 is, they're my sponsors, and they believed in, you know, this project from the very beginning, and they helped me, you know, develop a lot of the film for the book and get to the point where I am at now. Mm-hmm. And I'm very grateful, but you know, they need a lot of help at this moment to rebuild the center. You know, they don't, we're not sure even where it's going to be.
Yeah.
So Yeah. That aside,
we will definitely help promote that.
Yeah. That they're probably doing, you know, a few drives and whatnot to come up with, you know, resources and things that people need until we, you know, they figure out.
Feel free to send any information my way. We will put it on the newsletter.
That would be great.
And help you guys help in any way we can.
Absolutely. That's great. Thank you. Other than that, you know, the book, I really wanted it to come out this year. It might be around the beginning of next year. And so once the book comes out, I would hope to have a release party and also a book signing either at like a Barnes & Noble or like a Changing Hands or like a little cool bookshop somewhere.
We might have
maybe
some people
both.
Who you can get in contact with for that.
Yep. And so the website, again, I'm not really looking for participants at this point. The book is done for now, you know, until I see every single piece come together. But the website is queergirls.squarespace.com. Mm-hmm. So you can just see a little bit more about it, about my sponsors, and then also reach out to me if you're interested in being a sponsor in any capacity. I mean, literally even a couple $100 goes towards
something. Any little bit goes a long way.
You know, so that's that. As far as my photography in general, it's mvhphoto.com. Mm-hmm. And I'm just hoping to get this done soon and have it in my hands and really just... you know, have it see it come to a, you know, fruition. So
once you get that cover,
yes. Oh, I don't even know what to do with that.
God. You're no, trust me.
I don't even think I can put one person on it. It has to be like a collage, right?
we had another author come in and he told the story about his first book and and how he like, you know, the moment where he got the cover and seeing the cover come to life. And you know, I can only imagine that sort of thing. I've only ever had, because I do landscape architecture, so it's like, it's
what?
To see constructions, like the finished product is cool, but to see something that you physically wrote and like, or did whatever.
I can't imagine
and
the moment.
And being printed in your hand, I imagine there's tears.
Yes. There's going to be tears. I cry. I cry when I get published in magazines, like fashion magazines, like, and I've been doing this for a long time. Aww. And I just did an advertisement or a couple advertisements for, you know, at work, and I saw the prints, just like a black and white print. I'm like, oh my gosh. So like, I'm one of those people that just gets really into it. So
yeah, definitely.
Yeah. Thank looking you. Forward.
Well, I appreciate it. Again, you have given me so much things to think about and given me so much insight. Any handles as far as Instagram?
Oh, yeah. Social media. Maven. I love Instagram. I'm addicted to Instagram. It's at Age of the Aquarius. Mm-hmm. It's all spelled normally. Mm-hmm. Age of the Aquarius. And Snapchat is V Valentine. So there's V first and then Valentine 217. Mm-hmm. Facebook, it's MVH Photo. Or you can put in my name, which is Marjani Viola Hawkins. You can find me either way. My Twitter's on private because I talk too much shit, but
you might
be able to find it.
Spicy. Oh, well, thank you again, Marjani. Thank you so much. I cannot say it enough. You are a very delight to have on
thank
the show.
Thank you.
And I hopefully want to see the book come out early next year.
Yes.
And we will definitely be helping in any way that we can. So please, honestly, for those out there who want to help her out, please go to her website, help her out. And if you want to help us out,
I have a GoFundMe page. It's not as prolific as the rest of the website.
Okay.
So, you know, if you're interested in helping me with the monetary aspects of producing this book, the best way to do it would just to be send me an email through the forum, and then I can respond with the link to the GoFundMe.
There you go. You heard it from the mouth. And if you guys want to help us out, we do have a Patreon page where you can get an extra episode every month. And if you want to go and see all of our previous episodes, you can go to www.findingarizonapodcast.com. And we are also available on iTunes and SoundCloud. So with that,
alrighty,
we say goodnight. And thank you, Marjani.
Thank you.